Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say it on me, no doubt and rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
Mr. Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. And it is another open show. And this night, not Christopher John, but Michael P. McCarthy here tonight. Michael.
Good evening.
How are you?
I am doing pretty well. It was the black car was very hot. Once I got into it on the way over here to the radio show.
I feel like I'm in a sauna, you know, like somebody's giving me a nice hot heat massage,
very European,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's very Italian-European. I like that kind of stuff. So, you know, once the car isn't burning hot, then I'm really happy. It's still warm, very warm, but not burning hot. Anyway, Michael, this is birthday week, too.
It is birthday week. So we celebrated with the company today, but it's really birthday month. And since we got the cake was a little off, we're going to have birthday August as well. So don't worry.
So anyway, this Friday, in case you wanted to send the UPS package or something, it's my 63rd birthday, in case you were curious.
Still time for Amazon free delivery.
That's true. Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and ask a question, when we do an open show, that means you're the guest. You get to say, if you talk about this and you could teach me about this issue, I will be incredibly grateful. And whether it's 529 plans or whether it's investments, you know, this morning I was talking to Sean and Bruce about the gold market and how to think about that, what phenomena that's going on over there, whether it's taxes and tax planning. You know, you got the opportunity to repay any required minimum distribution you took out after January 1 of 2020, you can put it back into the IRA before August 31st. It is an incredibly unique opportunity, even inherited IRAs.
Yeah,
first
never,
time ever
no way to get
in
money
the
in
history of a the inherited IRA, if somebody took money out, that they'd be able to put it back in and say, don't tax me on it. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is an incredible time that people have and an opportunity they have. And I hope that they have advisors that are thinking this out for them carefully.
Right. And I think you and I were talking and you were talking with everybody in the company today about what an incredible tax season next year is going to be, because on top of being able to put back your RMD, on top of it being a fantastic year to consider Roth conversions, on top of it to be another year for the QCD to reign as king or queen for charitable giving, it is going to be a mess of a year next year to make sure everybody gets their tax information to their tax prepare correctly.
Yeah, well, because what Mike is referring to there is, let's say somebody was listening to me and say, hey, I took out $10,000 in January and I could put it back and not pay taxes on it. And so they go and they say, can I do this? And their custodian says, yeah, you can do that. That is allowed. And so they put the $10,000 back in there. There is going to be nothing but a statement saying, Mr. Client, you took $10,000 out of your IRA. And that's what's going to come next year. And now it's up to the tax preparer, whether it's you or some professional, to say, wait a minute. Yes, he did take $10,000 out, but he put it back in before August 31st. So don't tax him on it. This is called a 60-day rollover, even though it's much later than 60 days now. It's a rollover, and it's not taxable. But the preparer has to do that. So, you know, what Mike's talking about is critical to understand if you take advantage of this. Rebecca in Pennsylvania, how can we help you?
Yes, thanks. I'm listening to you. And, like, part of this is, like, if you have a power of attorney and someone can do this, how do you make sure they're doing it correctly and not go ripping you off?
When you say that, you mean for, like, a parent? You have power of attorney over a parent?
No, just a power of attorney, because I happened to read mine today, and, like, it says, like, nothing's going to happen.
No.
My lawyer can do anything he wants. It's weird.
Yeah,
so
but, you know, you want to only do a power of attorney if you have somebody you explicitly, unconditionally trust.
Yeah.
And if you have somebody like that, then you want to be doing the power of attorney. I have a couple people that I have that kind of faith with. But if you don't, you don't want to do a power of attorney.
Well, if I'm alone, then how do I choose a power of attorney? What are the basis of, like, choosing a power of attorney?
You know, we have an attorney that we know him extremely well, and we know that this attorney would never do anything. So we recommend him to clients, have nobody to choose from, and we know that that attorney will do the right thing with that power of attorney. So that's the situation that we use. We find people that we believe are that kind of trustworthy. So that's an option.
How do I double check that?
How do you double check the person that you might be referred to?
Correct.
You're going to have to do whatever research you can to see, you know, talk to people.
Or accept that you're not going to have one. And
go to guardianship.
And let
the state oversee the situation. So in guardianship, what Mike's referring to there, Rebecca, is one of your family members would say, hey, she never got a power of attorney. We told her to 1,000 times. She never did it. So they go to the courts and they say, we need to take over her finances. And the courts say, okay, we're going to look over this. And they say, okay, we're going to let you have somebody take over the finances, but we're going to choose them. And we're going to choose Attorney Jones over here, and he's going to watch over the money. And then every year, the attorney has to report back to the courts what they did with the money for that person. So that guardianship is a good answer if you're not willing to do a power of attorney.
It's just a bit slow.
It's just a bit slow and a bit expensive. All right, Rebecca, I got to run for
my first pause.
We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to lead the conversation after this pause for traffic, so take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated, or just a few of the many parts of the physical? The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we're on an open show tonight. What the heck is that? What are you doing?
I think it's the 80s.
I don't know. I don't even know that it's music.
It's Don Henley in Dirty Laundry.
Oh, good old Don Henley.
From the Eagles, you know, one of your favorite groups.
All-time favorite groups, Don Henley and the Eagles. Yes, I don't even know who Don Henley is.
He's the drummer.
He's the drummer. That's what it sounded like. Sounded like somebody was just pounding a trash can somewhere. Anyway, we're on an open show. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. You want to call and ask a question about personal finance? Be more than happy to answer your question, whether it's IRAs, 401ks, 529 plans, investments, the gold market, that's a hot topic right now, estate planning, income taxes, the idea that we talked about a second ago with the RMD rollovers, qualified charitable distributions, why you should be doing them, college planning, 529s, insurances, auto, home, life, long-term care, you name it, we got a caller here. We're going to go to them real quick. Sam in Ellicott City, how can we help you?
Fine. This is a stupid question. Maybe no question is stupid. But anyway, listen, what I'm talking about is this. Taxes. When you fill out your form, if you're a single man, what's more advantageous? You put down one as a dependent or none?
Now, you're talking about apples and oranges. So when you fill out your tax return, if you're a single man, you have one dependent because you're a single man on your tax return. Now, when you go to your employer and you fill out your W-4 for the withholding against your paycheck, you can say either single and zero, single and one, single and five, even though you're only a single person. So, you know, is that what you're referring to?
So what does that do?
It just means how much they're going to withhold from your paycheck. And, you know, and so, and the newest W-4 is even more complicated, yeah. And it's not the same creature as single and one, single and two, and so forth. What do you got there, Mikey?
Yeah, I pulled it up. So it's single, married, or head of household, and then you multiply the number of qualifying children under 17 by 2,000. And other dependents by 500. You come up with a number there, and then you start adding and deducting based on some other features on a worksheet.
So
it's
Sam,
much more complicated.
Yeah. So
now,
Sam, the W-4 is merely designed to try to help whatever your salary is to have the withholding necessary at the end of the year to pay the taxes that you're going to owe when you pay your tax when you do your tax return. So that's the whole concept behind it. So if you do it such that it's far more conservative than what your situation is, you might get a refund. And if you do it more aggressive than what your situation is, you might owe a lot of money.
But in practice, there is it's not a perfect easy button, but the IRS has created a little bit of an easy button with the IRS withholding calculator.
Yeah.
So you can go on the IRS website, put in information about how much you make. You want to have your most recent pay stub with the year-to-date numbers on it. Plug that in. Tell them a little bit more about you.
Your interest, dividends, capital gains, and any other thing.
And they'll kick out
what you should claim on your W-4.
Yep. So, not perfect.
Take it now or take it later. It's the same, isn't it?
It is the same, but, you know, it just depends on whether you want to, you know, be subject to possible interest penalties at the end of the year. So if I owe $10,000 on, you know, on a $100,000 income, I could owe, you know, $1,500 of interest penalties for all I know. So that's the only reason you want to get your withholdings right, is that you don't have to pay that interest at the end of the year. All right, my friend?
Thank you.
All right. Good question. We're with Dave in Halthorpe. I got that right. Halthorpe. Where is Halthorpe? I know where it is. But where is that? Near the airport, right?
Just outside of Arbutus.
Near the airport?
Not too far from the airport.
Yeah. So
probably 10-15 minutes.
Yeah. So what can we do for you, Dave?
I wanted to touch base with you about what you were talking about in the very beginning of your show, the inherited IRAs.
Okay.
I have two inherited IRAs that I have to take that minimum requirement out, you know, once a year, of course. And I usually do that in November. One is an automatic from the bank, and the other one I have to go down there and, you know, withdraw that. So I don't – what my understanding is, I will not have to do that this year if I don't want to.
That is correct. As a matter of fact, you should tell the bank that did it automatic to make sure that you don't do it automatic this year.
Right. And then the other bank that I would have to go to normally pull that out, I don't have to do anything there. I just don't go there and withdraw it this year?
That's correct. You don't have to do anything. But keep in mind, Dave, that you also want to think about your income tax situation and say, is there a reason that I want to pay taxes on it, even though I don't have to? Maybe my income's too low and I don't want to not take it because it would be beneficial to me to take it and pay low income tax. But if you're in a reasonably high tax bracket, then you say, yeah, I'm just going to leave it there. I'm not taking it this year.
And the other thing we think about with that, Dave, is that we think about if you're going to be leaving that behind for children and you're pretty confident that some amount of it is going to be there for your kids. And if your kids are in a higher tax bracket around whenever you think you might depart, then you might be better off paying taxes at your tax bracket. It's different for everybody, but there's a lot of things to consider.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good point. I didn't really think about that because I do plan on, you know, leaving that to, you know, to my daughter. So.
Well, you're only going to be leaving it to your daughters if you don't live to be 85, 86 years of age. You live to be 86. Those inherited IRAs are going to be exhausted.
Okay, I see.
You know, because that's the way the inherited IRA laws work. I'm going to assume that your parent or whoever left them to you died before 2020, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then the year, the age you were, the year after that person died, and let's say you were 60.
Probably 59.
59. Okay, so you were 59 the year after your parent, let's say, died. So your parent died when you were 58, the year after you're 59. That would be your life expectancy year, and they would calculate it about 26 would have been your calculated number, approximately. And then that year, you would have had to take out 1/26 of your balance. The next year, you would have had to take out 1/25. The next year, 1/24. The next year, 1/23. One, you know, et cetera. And if you think about what I'm saying there, as that number goes down, once you get to be about 85 years of age, it's 1/1. And that's the rest of the money. It's got to come out of the account.
Yeah, Dave, I did not hear the inherited part before. And I did think you did sound a bit young to be over 70 and a half.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So an inherited IRA is something that you know, and here's another important thing, Dave, that if you retire, you always want to draw any excess money you have out of the inherited IRA before you ever touch your regular IRAs, because the laws to the regular IRAs for income tax purposes and leaving them to your children is far more favorable than what it'll be on that inherited IRA. So I always get my clients to liquidate the inheritance as they need them and try to leave as much alone in their own accounts as possible.
I see. I have another quick question. I am retiring next year. I'll be 65. Should I take that money out of that IRA?
No.
Before retirement?
No.
Would that affect my income as my Social Security?
No. Social Security, what you're referring to is what's going to be, you know, am I going to be penalized on Social Security?
Yeah.
Is that what you're referring
to? That's my question.
That's only earned income. So if you went to work for somebody and you made more than $18,000 a year, they're going to make you give back a dollar for a dollar. But keep in mind that once you turn 66, you can make an unlimited amount of money without penalization of your of your Social Security.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Now there's two different pieces to the to the Social Security. So one is how much they would take before you hit your full retirement age. That's strictly earned income. The other is, will your Social Security be income taxable? But that's something you can't avoid. Period. So don't worry about it. Just try your best to think out what do you really need, and then the taxes will just fall in line as best as possible. All right? I wish I could go in more to that. All right, buddy. We're on an open show tonight, so we got the second half of the show, and nobody's online right now. If you want to call in, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, to be ready for the second half of the show. But right now, I have to go to a pause with traffic. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
You're going to be surprised. I actually know this song, right? So we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question. Actually, we have nobody online right now, Mikey.
Well, that's kind of good because you and I wanted to talk a little bit more about you know, next tax season.
Well, let's encourage everyone to call in while we ramble on about next tax season, because it's going to be important. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question about anything dealing with personal finances that would help you, something that would be beneficial to you, be it college planning, 529 plans, IRAs, Roth conversions, very important topic. But, you know, we were saying, Mike, that you can put your required minimum distribution back in before August 31st. But when you go to do your taxes next year, you're just going to get a statement that said Mike took $10,000 out of his IRA. Now, Mike thinks that the custodian should tell the IRS, no, I put it back. No, I put it back. No, they're not going to do that, Mike. Yeah. It's your responsibility on your tax return to tell them.
No, no. It's not mine. I pay a paid prepare. It's their responsibility to know, right?
Then if you don't tell them.
No. They're paid preparers. They know even if you don't tell them. It's like I think when they get a CPA license, they get the third eye or the third sense, fifth sense, something like
that?
You
know, and I'll bet you there's a lot of our listeners who have done qualified charitable distributions that should be tax-free, but they never told their accountant when they did their tax return, and that qualified charitable distribution did not get deducted from the retirement distributions.
But everything that the accountant needs to know comes in the mail and is detailed on all the paper, right?
No.
So, yeah, because they...
There is no qualified charitable distribution notice that goes out from the custodian. Only the taxpayer will know. And if they don't remember or they don't know that it's their responsibility to tell the preparer and to make sure that they take that deduction, they will miss it. And I'll tell you, we almost missed it one time. I remember we did a qualified charitable distribution for a client, and we got the thing, and somehow or another, we just didn't take note, and the client didn't say anything to us, and just somehow or another, we're looking at that return one more time before we're ready to give it to the client, and it dawned on us, didn't this client do a qualified charitable?
The third eye came in.
I mean, it's unbelievable how, you know, somebody who's – and if we're this careful and we almost missed it, can you imagine how many people don't know you need to be this careful?
Well, and it's really a problem for all types of scenarios. I know everybody gets their documents in the mail – and they put them together and they get them to their CPA. But you got to have whoever's doing your return, you got to have them walk through it with you. And you got to be paying attention.
And you got to, you know, and when you get those little questionnaires from the accountant, fill them out and think about what they're asking you. Because we get a lot of clients.
And if you don't know, ask.
And we got a lot of clients we send our questionnaire out to, and they don't fill it out. They just send their information to us. And that's hurtful to their process. Marie in Columbia, how can we help you?
Oh, hi. My husband and I plan on moving to Florida when we retire in about 5 or 6 years. And we were looking at maybe buying like a condo now while the interest rates are low.
Okay.
And just want to find out if that was a good thing to do, and would we be able to get a tax write-off now, even though we're currently still living here in Maryland?
Well, the answer is yes, maybe, and no. If you can buy a place, and is this something that you're going to rent, or is this just something you'll use when you can occasionally get down there?
Just something we'll use, yes.
Okay, so if you can afford it, and you feel you're getting a good price on it, then it's probably not a bad thing to do, because Florida, believe it or not, Marie, everybody who retires in the state of Maryland is thinking of leaving Maryland, and Florida is a very hot spot for people to move to. So guess what real estate prices have been doing in Florida?
Increasing
dramatically. So, but you have to be wealthy enough that you can afford a second place.
The other question that I would ask you is, after you retire and you move to Florida, will you have a mortgage on that home in Florida?
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
So that's actually a really big, important part of this. If you're planning to have a mortgage in retirement, it's going to be probably pretty important that you acquire that mortgage while you still have an income to show. It doesn't mean that you can't get a loan without your normal W-2 income, but it gets a bit harder.
Yeah, I mean, you also have to make absolutely certain that you're going to be able to accumulate the money you need to accumulate so that when you do retire, you're going to be able to handle that mortgage. But remember another thing, Marie, and I've been in this business for 40 years. When people buy a place that they assume they're going to retire to, I rarely find that they actually retire to that place that they bought while they were still working. Now, you're a little closer to retirement, that it's a little more likely that if you do, it will turn out to be a place you'll retire to. But you'd be amazed at how many times I've seen people over the last 40 years buy somewhere and say, this is where we're going to retire to. And then 5, 10, 15 years later, they retire and they're like, nah, we decide we're not going to move there.
Okay.
So just think about that, okay?
Okay. And as far as tax write-offs.
No tax write-offs, really. I mean, you're going to get the mortgage write-off, but remember, you have to pay a bank a buck to save 25 cents in taxes. That's not necessarily a big deal, okay? If you were to rent it, now this is the key. If you were to buy something and you say, we're just going to buy something and rent it down in Florida, and it'll help pay for the place, and then when we do retire, we'll determine if we want to use the rental place as our home, or we're going to sell the rental place and then buy something else that we really would like to live in, that might be a very good strategy.
And companies like VRBO have made that a lot easier and a lot less expensive from a management standpoint.
And Airbnb and places of that sort. So you got to think this out. All right, Marie?
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Heather in Delaware, how can we help you?
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good. And you?
I have a 100% mess.
Okay.
So I got to give you the whole backstory. So I wound up, I'm active duty military. I wound up getting married. My home of record is Florida, so I don't pay state taxes. I originally lived in Maryland. My wife had a house here in Delaware, which we sold. My in Maryland, I sell it in 2 days, and we have no idea whatsoever what to do with our taxes or how to file that sort of a thing. And in 4.5 years, I retire. And we're moving to Florida.
Right.
What year were you married? This year or 19, 18, or before that?
We got married April 13th this year.
2020?
Yes.
So you're talking about your 2020 tax return?
Yes.
And does she work in Delaware?
Yes.
Okay. So, well, there's a lot of interesting moving parts there.
I mean, she's going to be part year Delaware.
Yeah, she's going to be almost full year Delaware.
Yeah. And if she's still working in Delaware, she's still going to be full year.
But I don't pay Delaware taxes because I'm active duty military.
Well, you and your spouse don't have to pay taxes to the same state.
Yeah, you can normally do married filing separate states. But both of you lived in the houses that you sold?
Yes.
So they were your permanent residences?
Yes.
And you'd lived in them. Well, he's military, so it really doesn't matter. And so, so anyway, the point of the matter is that the sale of the house is going to be tax-free because it was your personal residence.
Okay. Well, I'm losing money in Baltimore because you know how communist Baltimore is.
Right. So, but the sale of the house in Maryland is going to be tax-free. Okay, because it was your personal.
I'm paying to sell my house.
What's that?
I'm paying to sell my house.
Oh, right. Well, so she has a loss. Anyway, so you're selling the house in Maryland. You've lived there till now. Where are you going to stay for the rest of the year?
We bought another house in Delaware.
So, Heather, can you hold on for us, and then we'll come back to you after this pause, okay?
Yes.
Because it's an interesting story, and there's a lot of moving parts that are really interesting to teach a lot of our listeners about. But right now, we have to take a pause with traffic, and we'll be right back with Heather. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Another great musical selection from Chris. I ought to choose the songs before we start these shows,
we
Chris.
We can't play the Green Beret song over and over and over
again. How about Red Rubber Ball every once in a while?
Okay.
You know? Anyway, we're here on an open show, and we're with Heather, and we're talking, and she's got an interesting question, and that is, so she's active military, and she has a spouse, and the spouse, and they got married this year, so they're part-year residents, okay? So you got the part-year state residency going on, but because she's active military, and Heather, tell me, all of your income is active military income. You have no other income from other sources, do you?
Correct.
Okay. So, you know, she gets to choose, sort of, what state she wants that income to be taxed at. And she chose Florida. That's a smart choice because Florida is a tax-free choice.
Now, Drew, would she need to have gotten her driver's license? And
She would need to have proven that she began and maintained her military career from Florida or something of that sort.
So
but they usually have good ways of taking care of that in the military.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Heather is state income tax free. She sells a house in Maryland. No big deal. It was her personal residence and she lost money on it. So she's not going to pay any income taxes to Maryland on the sale of that house. Were you a Marylander when you sold that house, Heather?
Yes.
So they didn't withhold the non-resident Maryland withholding tax, right? So you didn't have
to. No, she's selling it coming up soon, right? You haven't sold it yet.
I sell it on the 2 days.
Uh-oh. Did
I still live there, though.
You still live there, right?
Yes.
So you're not considered a Delawarean. You're still considered a Marylander, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's great. They won't withhold the Maryland resident tax on you.
Well, there's nothing to withhold. She actually has to write a check at closing.
But no, Mike, if they would have thought that she was a non-resident of Maryland and nobody filed the exemption certificate, they would withhold 7.5% of that house, regardless if she made money or not. But this is the incompetence of real estate agents. Now, did you hear that? Hear this clearly.
Not all of them.
Most of them. I haven't found one yet that does this. And that is when you sell a house and you're no longer a resident of Maryland, there's an exemption certificate not to have to have this withholding tax. But I rarely have found an agent. Honestly, I have not seen an agent yet who understands this and does it for the client beforehand. For example,
there's actually a two-year thing.
Oh, I understand, but that's a different rule. That's a federal income tax, but it does fall into the Maryland exemption. So let's say I'm selling my personal residence. I paid $100,000 for it. I'm married, and I move to Florida. And when I'm in Florida, I sell the house for $500,000 and make a $400,000 gain. Maryland's going to want to withhold 7.5% of that. But if I file this certificate and say, wait a minute, it's my personal residence on Section 125, and it's going to be tax-free, Maryland will say, oh, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Here you go. Take your money. Don't, we're not going to withhold anything. But if that agent and the settlement people don't think that out, that's going to happen, and you're not going to get your money back until the next year. Anyway, let's get back to Heather's story. So Heather has a tax-free situation on the sale of the house, and now your spouse sold their house also?
My wife had a house also. We sold that July 1st.
In Maryland or in Delaware?
In Delaware.
In,
and we got a $15,000 check.
And they bought another house in Delaware.
But it doesn't matter if they bought another house in Delaware or not.
Well, the end question here, Drew, is what is the state residency, state local income tax for 2020? State income tax is 2020.
For these
for
two?
For the two of them.
For Heather's spouse is going to be a Delaware resident for the whole year. Heather is going to be a Floridian for the whole year, period.
Yes.
And that's the way it's going to go. It's going to be pretty straightforward. And unless your spouse sold the house on July 1st for a profit, there should be no tax on it. Well, she did. There should be no tax on it because it was their personal residence also. And therefore, it should have a Section 125 exemption. It should be tax-free to them. So I think it's going to...
She's got a 9-year-old child, too.
Well, that'll just bring in a $2,000 tax credit to you. So,
do we mail jointly or do we do it separately?
You're going to file joint federal income tax return, and you're going to file separate Delaware returns. You're going to be filing.
I won't file anything in Delaware.
She's going to file married filing separate in Delaware. And you're going to be filing, you're not going to file anything because you don't have to. And so what's going to happen with your spouse is they're going to file their tax return in Delaware, and the only Delaware source income that's going to have to go on that return is hers. And then she's going to get a deduction for her child.
Okay.
So it's not going to be that complicated if the tax preparer knows how to handle the situation. It's not that – it's going to be a pretty straightforward situation, in my opinion.
Okay.
Even though it sounds complicated, when you go through all the statistics of what you're saying, it's not going to be all that difficult.
I will say, though, that it is important that, Heather, you established your residency in the state of Florida before all this.
Well, she's a military person, active military.
I don't have to.
And you're filing, you're voting in Florida, right? You've got your driver's license in Florida and all that kind of good stuff.
No, you don't have to do that.
Okay, but you do have to establish it. You know, you do have to
establish.
Yeah, she has established it through the active, through the military. She does that.
And the military, for anybody thinking about this, they do have a great website, militaryonesource.mil. It's from the Department of Defense, and it does go through those rules to make sure that you did establish residency in Florida to be able to use that.
Very few states.
Home of record. That's your home of record of where you're residing when you get out of the military.
Right.
You
anyway.
So, and it's where you usually go into the military as well.
I agree. There's a lot of that. So, you know, what you're doing is perfectly fine, Heather. All right?
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys.
Take care. Thanks. Goodbye. Anyway, they're already over the show. That was a long one. But she had all kinds of cool things
really
going on.
Lots of stuff.
Lots of, you know, two different states, military, active military, very different, different tax rules for the active military and so forth. And so anyway, we're at the end of the show, and I don't think there's any guests coming on next week. We're going to do another open show next week, Michael.
Very good. See, Chris will be here.
All right. And this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.